Hi, I'm Michael. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm also the missions director. As a church, we are committed to answer God's call to reach every nation. I hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
As far as I know, this is a true story. But the setting of this, I think, is in England, relatively contemporary times. A man by the name of Chippenham George, sounds British, worked for the post office, and his job was to process all the mail that had illegible addresses. So, makatwid, sa madaling salita, yung kung hindi mo mabasa yung writing, okay? Meron pa naman hanggang ngayon, di ba? May nagsusulat pa rin. One day, just before Christmas, a letter hand landed on his desk, simply addressed in shaky handwriting to God. With no other clue on the envelope, George decided to open the letter and read this paragraph. Dear God, I am a 93-year-old widow living on the state pension. Yesterday, someone stole my purse. It had £100. Of course, we know the British currency is in pounds, so that's about $127 US in it, which was all the money I had in the world and no pension due until after Christmas. Next week is Christmas, and I had invited two of my friends over for Christmas lunch. Without that money, I have nothing to buy food with. I have no family to turn to, and you are my only hope. God, can you please help me? Chippenham George was really touched, and being kind-hearted, he put a copy of the letter on the staff notice board at the main sorting office in Foreham, which is the name of the town, I guess, where he worked. Of course, the letter touched many other mailmen or postmen, and they all dug into their pockets and passed the hat, if you will, and between them, they were able to raise £95, almost what she was asking for, isn't it? And so, and they used an official envelope from the post office, and they sent the cash to the old lady. And as you can imagine, the rest of the day, all the workers felt a warm glow thinking of the nice thing they had done. So siguro, di ba, pag dumadaan, parang ano yan eh, yung nangangaruling o yung ano, di ba, pag inabutan nyo, di ba, you feel good. So I think we can understand how they felt. Christmas came and went, and a few days later, another letter simply addressed to God landed in the sorting office. Many of the postmen gathered around while George opened the letter, so they figured this was the same lady. And it read, "Dear God, how can I ever thank you enough for what you did for me? Because of your generosity, I was able to provide a lovely luncheon for my friends. We had a very nice day, and I told my friends your wonderful gift. In fact, we haven't gotten over it, and even Father John, our parish priest, is beside himself with joy. By the way, there was £5 missing. I think it must have been those thieving fellows in the post office." Medyo mabagal yata kayo ngayon, okay? For the record, kung may nagtatrabaho sa post office dito, hindi kayo yung tinutukoy, okay? I'm surprised. Your response is muted, okay? My point is, don't feel like you have to, don't second guess, okay? When you give, obviously you give generously. All right. I should have prepared the other joke. I thought it was gonna... Anyway. What we've done the last few weeks is look at the birth of Christ from different gospel accounts. And when you do that, it's like looking at a precious stone. You know, have you ever looked at the gemstone? And, you know, there are many facets to it, isn't it? And that's what the gospel accounts are. When, remember, there are four gospels, although, I'm trying to remember, I think Mark doesn't have the birth of Christ. I think it's primarily Matthew and Luke. But regardless, we learned the last couple of weeks that the announcement of the birth of Christ, the Annunciation, was a fulfillment of God's great promise to save His people. I believe last week, the virgin birth, we talked at least in our preaching series, was a miraculous event. You know, if you read the book of Luke, there were two supernatural pregnancies, by the way. One was Zechariah. Elizabeth, okay? Not Zechariah, okay? Elizabeth, okay? Who was old in age, but yet miraculously became pregnant. But then, the story of Mary, okay? Hindi ko lang kung binasa natin to, but of course, she was pledged to be married. Actually, a betrothal like that in Jewish culture, you're technically married, but you cannot have intimate relationships yet. And so it was really quite a surprise for Joseph to find that his betrothed, they haven't had relationships yet. Why was she pregnant? And as we know, it was the Spirit of God who descended upon her supernaturally to cause her to become pregnant. It was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, who had no relationships with any man. And I think we all understand the significance of that, because if not for that supernatural birthing from a virgin woman, then in effect, Jesus would have been tainted with human sin, with the sinful nature of man, and he would not be qualified to be the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. And so we can certainly rejoice in that. But not only was he born without sin, he lived a perfectly sinless life. I think that's very important for us to understand, for Jesus to become our perfect sacrifice. And so we want to continue in that, and we're going to look at the birth of Christ. I call it the miracle of the incarnation, God becoming flesh. Incarnate, okay, if you notice, incarnate comes from the root word carne, if you will, which is in the Greek, whether it's Greek or Latin, I didn't really research that, but that sounds familiar, isn't it? That's where we get the word carne, okay? A becoming flesh. So let's read Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 14. In those days, a decree went from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region where there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Father, thank you so much for the revelation and the knowledge of your word concerning, Lord, our Savior and our Lord, who was born, Father, 2,000 years ago, Father, and to this day, we not only remember, but we truly rejoice at the greatest thing that we've ever experienced since man fell, and that is you would become like one of us and save us from our sins. Lord, speak to us today by your Holy Spirit and by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I can't help think about the familiarity that we all have because of our tradition. I think you have to understand, thank God for Christianity coming to our nation, albeit, you know, from Spain. It still surprised me to this day that Magellan actually wasn't even Spanish. He was Portuguese, in case you didn't know. And because of that knowledge, today when we hear the word of God, yes, it's familiar, but I hope it's not just familiarity, but it's something that becomes revelational, if you will. Many nations celebrate Christmas. They don't know who Jesus is. But fortunately, we have at least that understanding. But my hope and faith is that you're going to see Christ in a new way in our lives and amongst us. Now, three things stand out in this particular account: the political situation in Judea under Roman rule, the mention of Bethlehem as a town of David, and number three, the humble circumstances of Jesus' birth. What happened? Here was a decree or an edict made by a sovereign ruler that directed the lives of people. Okay, what was that? The emperor made a decree. Everybody has to be registered. So it's like a census. And I guess, you know, all states probably do that at some point or other. We have that, isn't it? When we have elections, when we have all kinds of civil events, our responsibility, kailangan magparehistro tayo para alam natin kung alam ng gobyerno natin sino-sino ba yung mga mamamayan natin. So here, so Joseph and Mary had to go back to Bethlehem. Why? Because Joseph was from the lineage of David. And that is very significant. He's descended from King David. As I understand it, even Mary herself was also descended from David. But, of course, it was really an inconvenient time. Think about it. Why? Because Mary was pregnant. Hindi naman pwedeng ambulansya yan. Remember, whatever, there had to be a donkey. I don't know how long the trip took. But here you are, about to give birth, and you have to go back to your hometown. It seemed inconvenient, isn't it? But do you realize, as sovereign as the decree of Caesar was, he was actually heeding a greater decree set by God hundreds of years earlier, and that was the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. I want us to understand something about our lives. We may, you know, there are many things we don't control, isn't it? Think about that. Where you were born, what decade you were born, and what year. You know, your citizenship. Maraming mga bagay, wala tayong control, mga kapatid. And yet, ultimately, we know God is sovereign in our lives. And He orchestrates the situations that you and I face so that He can bring about His purpose. Many are the plans in a man's heart, as Proverbs says, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And I think if we took the time to listen to every one of your stories, you will find, wow, God is a God who knows the plans He has for you and me. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. See, the birth of Jesus was a seemingly uneventful event. Uneventful, okay? The only thing out of the normal was that she had to give birth to Him in a stable. You know what a stable is? Manger. What's a manger? A manger is a feeding trough. Okay, doon nilalagay yung mga dayami tuloy. Basta yung mga kakainin ng mga baka, doon nilalagay yon. So, you know the scene. Because there was no place for them in the inn. But what made this event extraordinary was what happened to some shepherds who were watching over their flocks at night. And that is, an angel appeared to them and announced the wonderful news that would bring great joy to all the people, as our children were exclaiming. By the way, I hope this doesn't dampen your celebration of Christmas, but most likely it didn't occur on December 25. That must be a shock, right? And part of it is because here, the shepherds were out at night. When were the shepherds usually out at night? During the springtime and perhaps even summer. During the winter times, they wouldn't do that. It's very, very cold. Okay, so does that mean we shouldn't celebrate December 25? No, certainly let's still do that. But it's not about the day, it's about the birth. A Savior had been born in the city of David. God sent an angel to proclaim the good news to some shepherds. Then a multitude of angels appeared and began to magnify the Lord. I thought of doing it. I wasn't really planning it, but I want to illustrate perhaps the sense of majesty that the shepherds experience. I'm going to show you a 2.5 out of a 9.5 minute video, which goes back, mid to late 90s and 2000. I actually watched that video. It was a revival meeting. You know, some of our campus staff and pastors were saying, hindi pa yata sila buhay nun, okay? But this was a revival meeting in the States led by a revivalist named Rodney Howard Brown. And what they were doing was they were in a worship service, in an evangelistic meeting or revival meeting, and he began, after preaching, he began to lead the people in a time of worship. I think it's pretty clear it wasn't just your normal human voices, isn't it? Because the range of the vocals were higher and there was no breathlessness, if you will, in the voices. Last Friday, okay, in our staff meeting, remember that, Moe and Ian? We had the longest voice. Happy birthday, Jesus! Okay, I did it for 5 seconds. I think Moe was the one you did. 30 seconds ka ba, bro? Hindi ba ikaw? Ayun, si Ian yata. My point simply is this. I think what was caught on that video. So again, this is not a doctrine, okay? This is simply to illustrate the majesty and the glory of what I believe were angelic hosts joining the people in their worship. We have biblical basis for that, Revelation. We have other scriptures. And, you know, this is, again, when I read the commentary, I think you'll be blessed, okay? Every time we lead worship, the angels join us. Now, whether we hear them or not, that's not the point. The point is, the God deserves majesty and praise. Come on, let's give glory to God, amen? He deserves the worship of His people. And so, I'm not discounting the possibilities. We're not looking for experiences, by the way. But you never know. Okay? Ooh. Actually, that's not the only one. Anyway, as I said, don't look for that on YouTube. Just take note that somehow captures the sense of the shepherds when the heavens were opened, and they were just there, and then somehow the angels began to magnify the Lord. And this is such a sharp contrast between the glorious heavenly praises and the lowly circumstances of Jesus' birth. You know, if you follow British royalty, I'm not a follower, okay? I did see the Christmas picture of Prince William and, what's her name? Kate, okay? And then, of course, I haven't seen Archie yet. Who's Archie? Harry and Meghan, okay? I'm not following, okay? But, of course, they're there in the news, all right? And, of course, sure enough, they deserve the pomp. Jesus wasn't like that at all. Nothing wrong with pomp, but it shows you the kind of Savior Jesus was to us. I want to share with you quickly 3 revelations that show us the significance of the birth of Christ to us. Number 1 is a humble king in contrast to the ruthless rulers of the day. See, the Roman rulers were oppressive. Okay, remember, it was the time of Roman occupation. Even more so was Herod, who died the same year he was born. Remember, it was that guy Herod who had the babies killed in Matthew when he found out that the Messiah had been born. Those were the existing human rulers. You know, Herod was so impressive in his achievements and yet oppressive. In fact, when Herod was about to die, get this, that's just to show you what kind of king Herod was. He wasn't even Jewish. He was an Edomian, okay, from Edom. So he was a half-baked Jew. But he was the king of the Jews then. nung malapit na siyang mamatay, pinakulong niya yung maraming mga may edad na tao. And what he was planning to do was, the moment he died, he was going to have some executioners kill the older people as well. Why? So that there would be mourning when he died. Can you imagine that? Isasabay niya yung pagpatay dun sa mga matatanda para may iyakan. Buti na lang, hindi sinundan ng mga tao nung namatay na si Herod. Okay? But that just to show you the kind of leader he was. Eugene Peterson was comparing three leaders, Herod, Caiaphas, and Josephus, with their leadership of Jesus. How their model of leadership still permeates society today. Do you know that the Herods, the Caiaphases, and the Josephuses are still perhaps what's emulated as leaders? In contrast to the leadership of Jesus. You know, this was a telling statement. Maybe you've never heard this. Jesus is the most admired leader, but the least followed. Ang daming humahanga kay Jesus. Ang tanong, sumusunod ba sila sa Kanya? Perhaps, that's all Jesus is to you. Ang bait ni Jesus, ang galing ni Jesus. Mga kapatid, hindi sanggol po siya na naging na mapagkumbaba. Pero hari po ang Panginoong Jesus. Karapat dapat po siyang sambahin at sundin ng buong puso natin. Number two, so Jesus is a king, but a humble king. Number two, a Lord who valued everyone, especially the least among the people. The greatest news ever told, who were the first ones the angels announced to? Not the political or religious leaders, not the prominent and rich, but the lowly shepherds whose jobs... By the way, shepherds were actually menial professions, by the way. Pag-isipin nyo na lang, kasi yung mga pastor, okay, nagpapastor, yun ang tawag sa shepherd, di ba? Mahal na mahal nila yung tupa. Sa pagmamahal nila, amoy na nila yung tupa. Okay? So you can imagine, so I'm not just about the smell, but that's how lowly a shepherd was. Okay? We're pastors, right? Kaamoy natin yung mga tupa. Because we lay down our lives for the sheep. Of course, it's Jesus, and were his under shepherds. In the book of Luke, you'll find Jesus caring about the poor, the widows, the oppressed, the sinners, the tax collectors. The good news is for everyone, but it seems the most receptive were the marginalized and the powerless. Jesus loves everyone, okay? So don't get me wrong. Jesus is not against the rich. But it seems like the poor are usually the ones who are more realizing they need someone. In fact, Jesus said how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. Peter said, how can anyone be saved? Well, with God, all things are possible. So, mahal po tayong lahat ng Diyos. Mayaman, mahirap, matalino, hindi. Kaya lang, kapansin-pansin na yung mga wala masyado sa buhay, yun yung madaling manampalataya sa Panginoon. Long ago, there was a ruler in Persia who was a wise and a good king. He loved his people. He wanted to know how they lived. He wanted to know their hardships. So once he dressed in the clothes of a working man or a beggar and went to the homes of the poor. Okay? Parang the prince and the pauper siguro to. No one among whom he visited was their ruler. Knew that he was the ruler. So one time, he visited a very poor man who lived in a cellar. He ate the coarse food the poor man ate. He spoke cheerful, kind words to him. Then he left. Later, he visited the poor man again and disclosed his identity, saying, I'm your king. The king thought the man would surely ask for some gift of favor. But he didn't. Nung nalaman nung mahirap, siya pala yung hari niya, hindi siya humingi ng kung ano-anong regalo. Kasi kahit inalok nung hari. Sabi nung pulube, sabi niya, you left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark, dreary place. You ate the coarse food I ate. You brought gladness to my heart. To you, to others, you gave your rich gifts. To me, you have given me yourself. That's what our King did. He didn't just give us gifts. He gave himself. And finally, number three, the promise of peace in a time of turmoil. Sabi niya, di ba? Glory to God in the highest, and peace to whom, on men to whom his favor rests. The promise of peace is a gracious promise in light of what is known as Pax Romana. What is Pax Romana? It was a period during the Roman times where there was relative peace. Not too many wars during the time of 27 BC to about 180 AD. You know, Jesus was born between 4 BC to about 7 and so AD 30 is usually what is associated. So yung nung pinanganak po si Jesus, nung panahon po yun, walang masyadong gera. Okay? Sa Roman period, sa Roman Empire, of course, Judea was under Roman. So, but in reality, it was actually a tense time in a nation seething with revolutionary fervor, more especially a religious fervor. What do I mean by that? Okay? Kasi yung mga Hudyo, yung mga Jews, sawang-sawa na sila sa pagkaalipin sa kanila nung Rome. Gusto na nilang maghimagsik. Okay, that's understandable, isn't it? Because that's how we must have... Think about the time. Hindi, wag na natin isipin Kastila. Mga kapatid, meron pa siguro tayong mga kamag-anak, buhay pa nung panahon ng Hapon. Isipin niyo yun. Tanong niyo sila, ano yung pakiramdam mo nung panahon na yon na sinakop tayo ng mga Hapon? Pasko. I don't think you could celebrate Christmas in that sense. There was that seething sense. But you know what Jesus said? What Luke said? Let the peace of God rule and reign in our hearts. Well, I'm paraphrasing. Peace is not primarily tranquility or the absence of conflict, by the way. In fact, this is interesting. We're all familiar with the word peace, but in the Greek, it actually means to join and tie together into a whole, a wholeness. Nakakita na ba kayo nung paan na may bale? Ang ginagawa nyo, you put a splint, obviously, that's a temporary fix, and then you put a cast. When you say peace, it means to tie together. So there's a sense of wholeness in that peace. Think about that. And so the commentator West says this, peace is an operation of God's grace, binding the believing sinner to God and his life again. In other words, we experience peace when we have peace with God. Sa makatwid, yung buhay natin na may kapayapaan, pag yung buhay natin nakatali sa Panginoon. That's what it means. And so we can have peace with God regardless of the circumstances that are going on in our lives. Baka yung ibang kamag-anak nyo may karamdaman, may sakit. Siguro yung inaasam-asam nyo, hindi nyo pa rin makamtan. Meron kayong mga disappointments. Brothers and sisters, in Christ, you have peace with God, regardless of the circumstances of your life. Is it possible to have peace in the midst of economic uncertainty we're now facing, the ongoing threat of war, global monetary crisis, and others? My hope and my prayer is that this peace we sense is not just for the holidays, come on, but 2024, come on, and beyond. Because Christ not just became a child, a baby, but you have to remember, he grew up. Let's not be fixated on the infant Jesus, because Christ now is no longer a baby. He's at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning, interceding for you and me. And so, What is the significance of Christ's birth is summed up in the angel's announcement concerning the name of the child, a Savior, Christ the Lord. Let me end with this summation of what Savior means. And this might also enlighten you in a new way. A Savior is one who rescues believers from destruction and brings them into His eternal inheritance. It's not just what Jesus saves us from, but what He saves us for. When Jesus Christ came, yes, we knew eventually He would grow up. You've probably heard of the saying, He was born to die. This cute, cuddly baby, His body was going to be bruised. He was going to be whipped. He was going to be spat on. He was going to be mocked. He was going to be insulted. To pay the price for your sins and my sins. And He died the death of a common criminal. Not just a common, the vilest criminal. Because that's what crucifixion was for. But 3 days later, He rose again from the dead and conquered death itself. He rose again from the dead, ascended to the Father, and now sits at the right hand. And He poured out His Spirit, by the way, empowering you and me so that we could live victorious lives as His messengers. And so, brothers and sisters, when Jesus saves us, He doesn't just save us from our sins. He saves us so we can be partakers of the inheritance of the kingdom of God. That's what Christmas is all about.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join a victory group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us in discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.